The following program contains paid content. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the presenter and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, management, affiliates, and sponsors. You're listening to WKOM 101.7 FM. It's now time for the Debbie Matthews Show. And here's your host, Debbie Matthews.
Well, hello, everybody. It's the Debbie Matthews Show, and it is the premiere of our show on Sunday nights. And I had waited forever to make sure that I had my first treasured first guest, Mr. Rory Feek, who is a beloved friend of mine that I've known, I feel like, almost my whole life now. Rory, how long have we known each other?
Well, the part of our lives that probably matter the most, well, since we've been grown-ups pretty much. So I think I met Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, we've probably known each other 25 years at least, maybe 30 years.
I would think so, because, well, you run into people at the, what do they call them, the zenith points, where they come in and they make an impression on your life and a mark, and you may not see them every day, but you know they're always in your corner, they're always supportive. They're always someone you can lean on for advice if you need it. Mm-hmm. And you had always been that person for me, because we were both publishers, independent publishers in Nashville. You are a professional songwriter. My husband was a professional songwriter, and we were navigating those waters together. And so I wanted you as my first guest for a lot of reasons, but mostly because those zenith points are something that I treasure, and I believe this radio show is one of those kinetic points for me. So I have to have my point person coming in. And there have been places and times when you and I have seen each other start things, and I wanted to let people know I've witnessed something extraordinary out of a human being by the name of Rory Feek. And I have witnessed his life, and he is extraordinary and courageous, and so that's why I wanted you to be my first guest.
Well, that's very nice of you. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm excited about your new show.
Well, thank you. Yes.
All that's going to come from that.
Well, you are all things media anymore, okay? And you have a beloved following. In fact, I got a telephone call while I was sitting on 65 last week from two people that wanted to see a farm of mine that we have for sale out on Highway 50, a beautiful farm on Morrell Road. But as I'm corresponding with these people from Michigan, I've never met them before in my life, blah, 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 they said, hey, well, we're in Tennessee a lot because we're always down for Rory Feek's summer concert series, which we know and love and have performed there. So your name comes up from people from around the globe on just an organic basis, whether it's real estate or music or whatever. So, you know, Rory, I stood with you on a concrete slab over at Hardison Mills when there was nothing there except you sitting in a chair in front of a computer. And when I think of you, that's what I think of, is Rory Feek and the power of himself that radiates to create all things. So you create songs, which most people don't know a lot about that, but we're going to talk about that. But I have watched you create things out of nothing to become monumental, and we're going to talk about all of those things. But anyway, my guest today is Rory Feek, a dear friend. So I'm excited to have you today.
Thank you very much. It reminds me, when you're saying that stuff, I bet we're all this way, but just like when you're saying that, just that people are here looking at real estate, and if they bring up my name or something, most of the time I'm like everybody else. I just wander around going, I'm not making a lick of difference. I literally do. No. I do.
No.
But all of us, we don't know the difference we make.
Who you touch.
We have no idea. And so it's always encouraging just to know that something that you're doing is encouraging to somebody else.
Well, it is. We do sow seeds every day, right? And it is sowing seeds. But so Rory Feek, who is a pro songwriter, who has been and still has wonderful songs out there, You know, I want people to know you of your craft because you're a true craftsman. When Jason got into the music business, you start puttering around on Music Row and you start meeting writers. And I'm going to be very honest in saying that you meet some writers that you go, well, they learned it or they're in a room. But there were some people that were genuinely born with a talent. The Shel Silversteins, mm-hmm. the Roger Murrows. I mentioned Roger because he's a dear friend. Mm-hmm. We have Dean Dillon, you know, Chris Stapleton, you know, people that are actually born to do what they do. My husband was one of those people that was nudging around in there. And Rory Feek, I put in that echelon that you are a writer, a writer's writer, mm-hmm. Whether it's songs or other things. And so, you know, you came from Kansas. So tell me what got you to Nashville as a songwriter first.
Well, my father loved country music. So I grew up in a broken home. My parents divorced really early on. I have two older brothers, two younger sisters. And so my mother was raising five kids on her own and only saw my father every once in a while. And though he worked on the railroad, he loved country music and he played guitar and sang and he had a beautiful voice. And so as things work out, the parent you live with gets all the work and the duty and responsibility. And the one that you don't spend time with, that doesn't participate very much, gets all the glory. And so my father, I kind of put him on a pedestal. So I grew up loving country music like he did. And so by the time I was in teenage years, especially high school, I began playing guitar and dreaming of moving to Nashville.
And you got to Nashville about what year?
I was 30. Yeah. I got out of high school, went in the Marine Corps.
You served two terms?
Two tours. Yeah. And then I got out of the service. Still, all of that time working my way, even it's a strange thing to say, I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps trying to get my way myself to Nashville. But, you know, when you don't know how to get here, you don't know the route you need to take. And that was my route. And then when I got out of the service, I was in Texas for 4 years playing music in clubs. And then ultimately found my way here in the early 90s on some trips, moved here full-time in 95.
Well, I think Jason got here in 94, so y'all started sort of together at the same time. But, mm-hmm. you know, they say, I saw a stat, and I need to find the stat, but it was statistically who can become what. And becoming a pro hit songwriter is statistically a smaller percentage of people than becoming an NFL pro player. So it was a very small sort of thing where people are trying to thread the needle to get to Nashville, to learn the publishing business, to write songs, and to get them recorded by artists, mm-hmm. which is a different venue today on most things. But at that time in the 90s, so yeah. You were 30 when you got here.
Yes.
And you came from Kansas, right?
No, I came from everywhere. So I was born in Kansas, but my mother moved city, town to town, state to state, just trying to make a living. So I grew up in, you know, a dozen different states. And then I was in the service, so I was in a lot more states. So I kind of came here from Texas. I was born in Kansas, so I'm from there.
Okay.
I live on a farm, but I wasn't raised on a farm. I spent most of my life, you know, in trailer parks and stuff. Probably a little more like Jason. Jason had a kind of a tougher upbringing in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But all that stuff was preparing me for, right. you know, I love, years ago I watched the Oscar Awards, and I forget the guy's name, but he was the director of the foreign film Life is Beautiful.
Right, which is a great
and when
film.
And when he won, he was really quite a character. I'd never forget his speech. He said he'd come up on stage and broke in English. He said, I'd like to thank my parents for the greatest gift they could have ever given a child, poverty.
Yes.
And that's a real gift for me, is that I didn't have a lot. I didn't know a lot. And so everything was exciting.
See, isn't that great? Mm-hmm. I do believe that poverty or a hard upbringing, it prepares you to become a writer. I believe that. You know, you become the soul of a writer instead of the soul of a banker. It gives you empathy and a perspective that most people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as they say, it was preparing you to become a writer. So you get to town, get to Nashville, and tell me what your first cut was. Was it the Colin Ray cut?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I had been in town. I got a job writing songs for Harlan Howard, who's a real legendary songwriter.
Yes,
so I wrote for him for 3 years. And around that time frame, I got my first song recorded by Colin Ray, which ended up being a big hit and a number one song. So I bought the farmhouse that led me here. So my dream was, because I'd seen all the beautiful historic houses south of Nashville on Hillsborough Road, where it seemed like the famous people were living. That's what I heard. I drove by them. That's not where I was living. So I thought, okay, if I ever hit a big lick, that's where I want to live. So when my song was on the radio, I started looking for a house. Never owned a house before. My mother had never owned a house. And I just headed south past the Bluebird Cafe on Hillsborough Road, and I kept driving until I could afford one. Yeah. So 42 miles later on the right, I found this rundown old 1878 farmhouse.
So that's Hardison Mills?
Yeah, Hardison Mill. And I just started fixing it up, and that was in 99.
Yeah, that was 1999.
Yeah, I've been here since then. So this May is 25 years I've been here.
That's amazing.
So it's especially amazing for me because, like I said, we just lived everywhere. So we didn't have any roots at all. So a big part, whether I realized it or not, was trying to put some roots down and build a life. And it all began here.
Well, Maury County was attracting you. I mean, I know that you had come down to write with Jason, and a lot of people headed this way during that time, you know. But this is my home. Mm-hmm. And so I was always attracted to get back to Maury County because I think there's something in the soil here. Mm-hmm. But we were so thankful to have you as a neighbor in Maury County. Mm-hmm. And we both got back to Maury County about the same time, mm-hmm. I think. So,
I had my friend Tim Johnson. I came down here originally. Tim had a place.
Yep, on Carter's Creek, off of Carter's Creek.
Theta, over there in that Theta area. Mm-hmm. And I used to come there quite a bit. We were really good friends. And him and I actually wrote that hit song together. And so I would come down, and somewhere in those years, it really wasn't about a place because I didn't know Maury County. I'd been here a few times, but there was something calling me to some land. I don't know why, just some land, maybe because I never had any, and something old that needed fixed up. So I think it was just the idea of something. And when I bought the old farmhouse, it, you know, yes, I did spend a couple of years fixing it up, but little did I know that all those years, God was just fixing me up. That's what's right. really what was going on. Right. He was working on my character while I was working on
that's
the house.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some, I know Jason has a song that says exactly that. So those mm-hmm. are, old houses do that to you. Mm-hmm. They work on you. So, mm-hmm. but Tim Johnson, I'm so glad you mentioned him. He's one of our favorite people that passed away. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, you were intertwined with Tim in several different ways because you started a record label called Giant Slayer.
Yes.
And at the time, all of us were sort of looking at an independent route to get great music and great artists out. So that came along with other hits like Some Beach on Blake Shelton and Oh My Gosh. But
I just saw Clay Walker a few minutes ago driving by, and we said hi. He did Chain of Love.
I know, Chain of Love is so huge. That song still makes me cry every time I hear it. And so just, you have affected people's lives with your music, for sure.
Thank you.
But one that really affected me was the Blaine Larson song, is How Do You Get That Lonely? Mm-hmm. And he was an artist on Giant Slayer, mm-hmm. and he had cut that song. But Jason did a show recently with Jamie Teichner that he played that. So it was, you know, songs are so timeless. Mm-hmm. And their touch on people's lives are timeless. And mm-hmm. so I think of that all the time on How Do We Get... Can you tell us a little bit about the story on How Do You Get That Lonely?
So my daughter, my oldest daughter, when I bought the farmhouse, they were about 11 and 13 years old. I had been a single father for a long time. And Heidi, when she started high school, we put both of the girls in Zion Christian Academy, which is here, out here in Columbia. And she was going to school one day, and the very first time I wrote with Jamie Teichner was in Roger Murrow's office. I think it was after a Bible study on a Wednesday morning. And we were sitting there talking about, as happens quite often, you have no idea what you're going to write about. The phone rings, and it was Heidi's guidance counselor, I think. And she told me that Heidi's best friend Sam's boyfriend had just committed suicide the night before, and that the school was, you know, just all upset about it, and Heidi wanted to be with Sam, and they wanted to know if she could get out of school to spend some time. And just, and I, of course, I started asking questions, you know, well, what happened? And nobody knew. And from that, I just hung up the phone, and we started asking questions. Well, how does that happen?
How does a kid get to that point?
How does a kid get to that point? And so the song just sort of fell out, as a lot of the good ones do, right there in that moment. during that time, maybe not too long after that, I met this through a series of events that it's the way the most amazing things happen when they don't look amazing. You know, they happen in the smallest of things. Right. My mother, we did a little family reunion or something, and my mother's distant cousin came from California.
Right.
Or Washington State, and she sent a note from her granddaughter who went to school with a kid in Washington who was in ninth grade named Blaine Larson, and would I listen to his songs and help make him famous.
Yeah, I remember when all that went down.
So, you know, through all of that, for whatever reason, it just worked out that that kind of happened. And this young man, by the time he was in high school, he ended up having that song on the radio, and it was a big hit and a really special moment. I'll tell you one of the things about that was profound for me, and it happened in Summertown. I think it was in Summertown. I'm not a golfer. Okay. I've only been on a few golf courses, and they're glad I don't come on them. But one day, Tim and I were out there, and this young man, Blaine Larson, we were talking about it, and I had shared, I don't know if they were cassette tapes or a CD or something, of him singing Merle Haggard and George Strait songs. And we both thought he had a really great voice for a 16, 15-year-old kid. And so we said, somebody should record something on him, should produce something. I wonder how that could happen, and maybe we could write songs. And Tim, I remember standing there that day, he said, "We're somebody. Let's do it together."
Do it.
I said, "Well, we're not producers." And he, for some reason, he just said, "If we say we are, they'll believe us."
Exactly.
And that caused a chain reaction that to this moment, all the things that I've been part of, first off, they're not all just things that I've created. They're things that God has done.
Yes.
But they usually start with the seed of thought, I'm somebody.
I could try and do that.
I think the very, very first time was right there in that spot saying, well, we could produce him, and then, well, we could start a record label, and then
we can do
it. It really became fun at that moment. Before that, the way I used to see it, when you were writing songs, you turned your songs in, you prayed and hoped that your moment would come, and, you know, there was like a spinning wheel was going around, and every once in a while it would land close to you or kind of on you, and you'd hit a little bit of a jackpot, something good would go on, somebody had your song on hold. But you were hoping for the big spin that really landed on the amazing thing, but that was all you could do is just watch it around.
Yeah.
But for some reason in that moment, it felt different. It felt like I got the opportunity to reach up and grab that wheel and give it a spin myself.
Well, that
changed everything for
me. Well, I think that just that one moment set the course for everything. For you going forward. Because again, I go back to seeing you sitting on a concrete slab out at Hardison Mills. There wasn't anything over you but maybe a metal building.
Mm-hmm.
And you were creating in this computer. And it had gone from just music. It had gone to video. It had gone to a performance hall. It had gone into what became Joy and Rory. And so, I even as you say that about Tim, well, we're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gave me goosebumps. I mean, for people to not sit on the sidelines to know you are somebody that can do this. And I just think that is a rare moment that very few people get to, or to have the support around you.
Mm-hmm.
If Tim had had that thought, maybe without you standing there, what would have come of it? Would you have had that thought without Tim there, and what would have come of it?
But well, I think those thoughts have to come, for me, usually, especially back then, too. If I happen to have a skill set, like I'm pretty good. Like if I put my mind to something, I'm going to do the work.
Yes.
I really do the work. Tim was an incredible cheerleader. Like he was very, very smart, but he was mostly excited. Like he believed in it.
Yes.
And with those two things together, you can really, like, I could sit down and really create and do the functional, practical things that he maybe didn't want to do.
Right.
But he would give me the confidence and the belief, and I would give him the legs underneath of it. And
yep.
So nowadays, I just had this happen over at, what's that new place? Katie Pies.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I was with Larry Black. And him and I were having a conversation. He makes, through the years, he's done all the Country's Family reunion events and all those things. We were talking about, well, what does God have in store for you and I? What can we work on? And we came up with some ideas, and we basically, him and I together, are saying, we're somebody.
I love that.
We're somebody.
Well, let's talk about that next step when we come back after this break.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
For 60 years, people have shopped Parks Motor Sales to get the best vehicles and the best service. ParksMotorSales.com has details on new Buicks, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, financing, certified technicians, parts, tires, and much more. Stop by 919 Nashville Highway, take a Buick for a test drive, and learn why the Buick Encore and Buick Enclave are among America's most reliable vehicles. Experience the new Buick at Parks Motor Sales.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, this is Steve, the garbage man. Y'all have heard me talk in the past about Packer, our mascot dog. Well, I have some sad news about Packer. She recently crossed over the Rainbow Bridge to join our other beloved pets of the past. Packer lived out her final days on our farm in Water Valley. She had a great 14 years of life after being rescued by Don from being thrown away as a pup in someone's garbage. Rest in peace, Packer.
This is Dr. Dominic Mancini from the Dr. Gill Center. Have you been injured in a car accident? Are you still in pain? Untreated whiplash injuries to the spine may lead to future conditions, such as neck pain, low back pain, and headaches. The doctors at the Dr. Gill Center specialize in detecting and treating these conditions before they get worse. Our accident consultations are free. Call me, painfree.com, or call 615-551-9224.
We always get the question, what is Caledonia? That's easy. We're a full financial services firm. Who is Caledonia? Well, that's a little more interesting. Monty has an economics background. Daisy and Perry come from the banking world. Gay is an accountant. And Thomas has science and business degrees. Blair was a small business owner. Finally, I'm Becky Price, and I have a background in education. Together, we make up Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Del Kennedy from Porch Radio. Today I am at Foodland. It's bright, it's airy, it's stocked with everything you could possibly imagine wanting from a grocery store. There is a new circular out with all sorts of good specials. These specials will run through next Tuesday, April the 30th, and then after that there'll be some more new specials. I'm talking with Bobby Howell, your hometown grocer here at Foodland in downtown Columbia. Bobby, what's happening at Foodland this week?
We got ground beef family pack for $2.99 a pound. Fresh corn on the cob, 4 ears for $1.99. Lux beans, 88 cents a can.
And don't ever forget, guys who grill, they come to Foodland, best meat department in Murray County. And that's just a few of the specials that are in this circular. It's chock full of things for you and your family. You can get them from your paper or at the front door here at Foodland. Bobby Howell, have a great week.
Thank you.
This is Coach Tredarius Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Well, welcome back to the Debbie Matthews Show on our premiere show that I saved special for my dear, dear beloved friend, Rory Feek, who is a Murray County legend and a national treasure, actually. I will say that you are a national treasure to me and a Murray County treasure. And we're talking about being that someone. And again, I wanted you on this show because I am spotlighting people that are courageous, that step out in faith on whatever aspect of their life they're doing. And I've watched you do that for the last 25 years. And I stand back in awe because I sort of do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're sort of kindred spirits on that. But I've watched you, and I wanted to celebrate you on all of the things that you have stepped out on. And we ended the first segment where you were talking with the gentleman at Katie Pie's about mm-hmm. I am someone. We're somebody. But you've said I'm somebody on all the things that you had started to do in your life. So are you starting something new with the gentleman from Katie Pie's?
Well, I'm always starting things new. I mean, it's an endless, the day's early.
Exactly.
I mean, the day's early. It's like not everything comes together, but I'm always stepping forward in faith. And I've said this before a little bit. I'm a big Forrest Gump fan. For a lot of reasons, innocence, that's one, just reclaiming innocence in the world. But also, Forrest had magic shoes. And for whatever reason, I feel like God's given me magic shoes. And I have them on today, and they don't look like magic shoes, but they are, mainly because they allow me, for whatever reason, to step forward in faith when people don't. A lot of people can't and don't.
And it is strange that some people just are so...
Most of us can't, honestly. We can't.
They don't.
We're afraid. We're afraid of the unknown.
But paralyzed.
When you begin to really embrace the unknown, first off, on the faith side, I'm never by myself, so I'm never necessarily stepping alone. But when you begin to realize what can happen when you take these steps, when you say... You know, when you realize the good fruit is always out on the limb, and you make a step forward, or you climb up shimmy up that trunk a little bit, and you climb on a limb, and you start moving far out there to places that other people won't go because they're too afraid.
Right.
But you know, everybody's kind of standing on the ground wanting this extraordinary life and all the best fruit that there is, but everybody's there.
Right. You just have to take a step.
You have to come up there. You have to find a limb, and you have to climb out. And the further you get out there, the scarier it is. But that's where all the fruit is, because nobody will go there. And when you see the fruit, when you experience the fruit of it, the next time when something comes along,
you're not so
where
afraid.
Before you were thinking about, should I not? While other people are thinking about it, you're already up the tree.
I love it.
You're already up there. You're on your way out.
I love it.
And I think that's it becomes a muscle that you use more and more. Sometimes it doesn't work out. You fall.
Yeah.
You fall. Epic fails.
Well.
But we're always.
Well, let's talk about an epic triumph that you did. So back in 2002, right? I think anybody in the music business is sort of trying to figure out how to get more songs cut, how to get legitimate artists on the radio, all of those things. And you fell in love with a girl named Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, she had been on Sony for a millisecond, but really didn't get a release date. And you saw this talent. We all saw the talent. And then we saw you join her, fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you two together, it was like kinetic. It was... it was truly a spark, awesomeness. And so as you all are doing this, you take a chance, you crawl out on the limb and say, how do I expose us to do these two things? Because basically you wanted to write songs to premiere her. And I believe that's what you had said in the past is mm-hmm. I want to be with her and showcase her. But to get that deal was in some ways elusive. So you stepped out on that tree limb and you went on, can you do it?
Right.
And that, tell us a little bit about going on there.
Well, that limb was an unusual one because when I met Joey, I didn't want to be with anybody in the music industry. I'd been around, I dated some people in the music industry, and they wreaked havoc on me.
Yeah.
Because my ego couldn't handle it. My insecurities couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So then when I met Joey, she was extra beautiful, extra talented, extra nice, everything. And so I rooted for her, but secretly hoped that her career would never happen. And that way I would never be threatened and we could be together and I could be married and we'd be happy.
Happy and having babies.
And so it kind of worked out when it didn't work out.
Yep.
That her career didn't happen. I was like secretly down deep inside going, wow.
You know, it takes a lot to admit that though, Rory. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah.
But then after her career doesn't work out, her and my sister open a little cafe, Marcy Joe's, which is another different going out on a limb.
It was going out on a limb.
through a series of events, I meet this guy who writes a song with me, and at lunch he comes to Marcy Joe's, and we have lunch together, and he meets Joey, and he sees us, and he calls me out of nowhere and asks us to have coffee with him, and he says, I'm the music director for this new TV show, and I think you and Joey are the next big country duo. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't sing together. He said, oh, no, you guys are the real thing. I said, well, first off, I'm behind the scenes. I'm never getting on camera anywhere. And he's like,
no, you're the star, no, too. Yeah.
So what happened was God had to take me from not only not rooting for her, I was going to become her biggest cheerleader. And in order to do that, I was going to have to do the thing I didn't want to do, that I was terrified of. So when we went out for Can You Duet, it was way out on a limb because I thought I would be humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed because I didn't think I had anything to offer her. She was already so wonderful. I would just detract from it. But that's not the way it worked out. No. Together, it created something kinetic that we didn't have separately. And this guy, John Bollinger, saw it. And it changed everything, even to this day. It's like everything changed. But the part for me was, it wasn't really me. I had such a smart idea and I was going to do this or that. It was more like God presented an opportunity and I had to be willing to step out on a limb. And she was already willing. And then what would happen was not only, what would happen is my biggest fears, which was that she would go away and have a music career and fall in love with somebody else. And I would lose all that I had been hoping for. Instead, what would happen on the other side of my fears, if I would embrace her and whatever he has in store for her was, she's going to have her career and you're going to be right beside her. That's right. Then you're going to get a career with her and she's going to love you more because you would do anything for her. Anyway, it just keeps, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how it works out.
It is. So neat. But it was a God thing. And you know, recently when Naomi Judd committed suicide, I rewatched the Can You Duets just to see her talk about you all because she was so important
to us
and excelling that spark. Y'all were sparking, but she accelerated that. And just to see how all of our lives are intertwined in the music business, we're all sort of intertwined in each other's story. But Can You Duet was such a huge deal. And then you had your farm and the restaurant, and it all tied in together in this beautiful way. But just to talk about Joey for just a second, I can still, the last time she hugged me was at Artisan Meals. And she almost lifted me up off the ground. It was a warm, I still feel it, okay? Jason was out there to do one of the recordings of the shows that, you know, that was doing. And I think it was right after you all had recorded Jason and Rebecca's song, Life of a Song. Mm-hmm. So on your very first record, here's my husband, again, I call it a splash point, or I'm not getting the term right, but here your record comes out and we had this song, Life of a Song, forever, that I considered one of the best songs Jason and Rebecca had ever written, but one of the greatest songs ever, and that we pitched it. And again, it was like rolling that gambling wheel, and it becomes the title cut of your record. And I don't think that there was a prouder moment for Jason. Even today, we get to tell people that Jason's song was your title cut of your first record. That was a monumental movement for us. So we thank you
for that
we're always intertwined on that.
We still have, we had a 1955 tour bus that we started touring in, and there was a big hole in the door panel when you opened it up because it was an old junky bus, but we made a, I don't know, 18 by 18 metal sign that we put in there. We still have it. Maybe it's bigger than that, but it had Joey and I's wedding picture, and it had a couple of lines from it, from that song that said, a song lives forever, it never ever dies. How I wish I could live the life of a song. And we just had that and we thought about it because for us, it wasn't just a music career or just an album. It was an opportunity to say some things that meant something to us. And so one thing that meant something to us was that song and that idea that wouldn't it be great to live the life of a song, that what you do goes on forever? And what's profound? Joey did it.
Well, that's the thing, is I'm sitting here crying right now because I can't listen to the song without thinking of Joey, because she has lived the life of a song. I mean, she will never, ever die.
No, it's going to get stronger. It's just going to get stronger. It's so crazy.
It is.
Like, who knew? There's so many of those things. You said to me, you've used the phrase beloved, which is one of my favorite terms. I use it now even differently. And then I used to think, it's like, I see my wife Joey as an American treasure.
She is.
Like just a singer.
I've already said that, but y'all
not a singer, but you've used those phrases that I like. I see it like that. Like, just, this is a treasure. She's just an American treasure. Who knows? You know, maybe it disappears over time, but for
Rory,
me, it's beautiful.
What blows my mind, okay, is that you and Joey were together for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
But what you created in 14 years should have taken a century to create. So again, I'm back to the gentleman sitting in front of a computer screen on a raw chair on a piece of concrete that right now is a 300-person performance hall in Maury County.
Sure.
And since then, you had two restaurants, the Marcy Joe's out at Highway 99 and the one downtown, which, of course, anybody that was moving to Maury County for breakfast, I was taking them there. Okay. So just to see again out on the limbs.
The schoolhouse. I mean, the festival.
But this is explosions of create the festival. Is it still called Bib and Buckle, or are you calling
No, it's been going. This is the third year. It's called the Homestead Festival. It's a lot bigger than it used to be.
I know a lot of people that are listening that are Maury County centric. They're sad that Marcy Joe's, that the first one closed. That was a sad situation that people sort of knew because of employing people after COVID and all of that stuff. But it is a gut-wrenching heart stomp that the one on 99 is closing.
The original one.
I know it's closing. People are, they're not over that. And so they would want me to ask you, what are you thinking? Because we need that. I mean, it's...
Well, you have to, for me, just the same thing as when you say you've got to step out on a limb. Sometimes stepping out on a limb is the opposite of beginning something.
Yeah.
I've definitely learned over time the end is always the beginning. So you can't be afraid to end something because the moment you end it, something else begins.
Okay.
So the restaurant, Joey and my sister Marcy opened together, and it was an incredible thing that changed not only our lives, but Marcy's life.
I'm
and
still
the
carrying
community.
Around pounds from the cinnamon rolls. Okay.
But Joey's been gone for 8 years, and it's been very difficult on my sister. And if there reaches a point where it stops being fun then that's all there is. So what we've done from there, that's going to be a firehouse. They're getting ready to start building a firehouse there. And we took, on a personal level, we took most of the really special mementos, which is tons of them, and we brought them all down and put them in the barn. And our hope is, at our farm, we'll actually build a farm-to-table restaurant that will have a whole Marcy Joe's section, cinnamon rolls, and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, I'm so thrilled to hear that. I'm so thrilled that we're breaking news on that on this show.
I hope it happens. We'll see.
You can't take the structure and move it down to heart.
You can try. I mean, if we got the opportunity, we could, but... it is a neat place. And like you and I, we both live in old houses.
Yeah.
But the structure was, it's falling down. So even if my sister could have it, she would prefer us do something else. We've got part of the structure, so we'll do what
we
can.
Okay, good. Because we all want to see that flourish, and you all continue to flourish on that. Because it became
like
a Maury County treasure, and it became a part of your story.
Sure.
Because the show that you had on RFD at the time, where it showed Joey cooking.
Yeah, that's all a big part of it. Yeah.
It
just evolves into something else. I don't see it, you know, like I said, the end is the beginning. It's very, very exciting right now in my mind.
Well,
for you see the end.
Well, I'm okay with the endings because other things start. I get it. I get it more than most, but I still treasure, and I'm terribly sentimental.
Yeah, I'm
that too. I want old things to stay if we can, because yes, they, you know.
That's why I asked you when I saw you. I was like, you're still in your house, right?
I'm still in my house. Yeah. And I told you, they're stayers and they're movers, and I'm a stayer. So,
me too.
Yeah, because, and there's something about old homes. First of all, they were built better, I think, than most. And but your house is beautiful on Hardison Mills. I don't think, most people don't get a chance to tour the actual house. They just come to the grounds when they're there for an event. But
let's say this out loud. I'd like to do this sometime when they do a, we're not good at decorating for Christmas, but sometime when Maury County does a home tour.
Okay.
I'd like for my home, not that my home's not like big and fancy or anything like that, but that would be neat to take a day and let my blessing be a blessing for others. So think, pass that on to whoever does that.
So, Adam Southern, if you're listening, we've got a house for the home tour.
Good.
That would be awesome. Normally, it's like 2 days.
Yeah,
and
great.
I'll docent that house. I'll be there for that. But perfect. What I will miss is Joey's pies setting on the table in the kitchen. I mean, I still see everything as if she's still there. And that's...
I do too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I want to talk about... several things, some that are not going to be easy to talk about, but when Joey got cancer, it was right after the birth of Indy, and Indy's now how old?
10.
10. Indiana Boone.
Indiana Boone. She's 10 years old.
Yeah. So the type of cancer that Joey had, it was the same type that Jason had. A lot of people don't know that my husband had throat cancer, but what causes cervical cancer in women causes throat cancer in men. And so I think any family that's been affected by cancer is never the same. It changes you molecularly, right? You're not ever the same after you go through that. And I do want to talk a little bit about that on how it affected your faith as a human being, having to go through when it wasn't a good outcome on that. So, Rory, how much did it rock you faith-wise?
Well, I wouldn't say it wasn't a good outcome.
Okay.
It was an incredible outcome. It wasn't the outcome we wanted.
Right.
We wanted a miracle.
Right.
Because the doctors couldn't do any more. And so we did get a miracle. Millions and millions of people have been and were inspired by the journey that Joey was on and continue to be. That's a miracle, and that's an outcome. And I think it's going to keep going from there. I think she could have just had a nice little music career that people could discover over time, but God did something else. And I've said this a number of times, that I think we were only moderately famous, rurally famous enough so that her story, our story, could get picked up and shared at such a level as if our whole music career was only a setup.
To that.
And so how was my faith was tested, and hers was tested, just in the sense of, can you trust me? Can it be okay even if it's not okay?
Yeah.
And those are things that we had to learn as we went along. And so she understood it better than I did. She had very, very, very few and little times of anger and being frustrated. She was just very faith-filled and trusting, and she passed that on to me, and I've done very well with it in general. I mean, for me, that's only a faith thing. Otherwise, I would just been curled up in a ball if it weren't for my faith. And I think my faith has just grown stronger, and the other thing that came out of it for me is the reality. We have a 150-year-old, 175-year-old cemetery in the field behind our farmhouse. And that's a nice, I've written that into lots of songs. We'll be buried together underneath the oak tree. But when it happens, and when you bury your loved one behind your house in the cemetery, it starts to look a little bit different to me. And that's one of the big things that came out of it faith-wise to me, is this idea that we only have today became very real.
Well, we're going to talk more about that when we come back. I'm here with my friend Rory Feek today on the Debbie Matthews Show.
Do you want to give back to an individual with disabilities and help change a life? The Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs are seeking volunteers to help raise future guide or service dogs. Puppy raisers provide loving homes for puppies until they are old enough to begin formal training. Help raise an adorable pup into a future guide or service dog for a person who is blind, visually impaired, a veteran, or a first responder. Visit puppy.guidedog.org to learn more. That's guidedog.org. Sponsored by the Guide Dog Foundation.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
Attention radio listeners, Mother's Day is around the corner. So are graduations, confirmations, birthdays, and more. This is Jenny at Tillis Jewelry, and we are here to help. Not only have we created a fun new collection of birthstone stack rings handmade in-house, but if you get here in time, we can even get special items made in time for your event. Ask us about our posh new travel jewelry case, available for a limited time. Tillis Jewelry, your friendly hometown jewelers at 105 West 7th Street in Columbia.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Tripp Stoltz, owner and manager at Columbia Ace Hardware. We have changed our store hours to better serve our community. Columbia Ace Hardware is now open from 7 to 7, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 4 on Saturday, and closed on Sunday. Come see us at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard and let us show you customer service that can only be found at Columbia Ace Hardware.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Hey, this is George Plaster, and for the very best in sports, keep your dial on 101.7 FM WKOM.
Hey, everybody. We're back for my premiere show on the Debbie Matthews Show, and I was lucky enough and honored enough to have my friend Rory Feek to come in and to start us off on this. And we've just had two segments of not enough time, mm-hmm. and I think we've got 10 minutes to go. And I hope you come back and play some, and let's talk about stuff that's going on. But we left the last segment talking about cancer, mm-hmm. how it rocks your faith, and how Joey dealt with it. And I was telling you during break that Jason had the same thing that causes cervical cancer in women, or is causing throat cancer in men. And it was a devastating thing because this is how he makes his living. This was his identity, right, as a songwriter. And so we have a platform, you and I, to have people to focus on this a little bit and say, hey, this is real. Do your checkups. Mm-hmm. And especially men out there, if you feel something weird in your throat, you know, have it checked out. Do a scope at your ENT, because they say that throat cancer numbers are going to overtake breast cancer numbers for women and men. So since we have that opportunity, we want to share for people to take care of themselves,
for
right?
For sure,
But, you know, back to another kinetic spark time is Jason went through treatment in 2019. We had lost Joey, and then we came up on Jason getting diagnosed and a year of treatment of radiation on his throat and chemo. And through 2019, we didn't know what was going to happen. And then I get a call from Rory Feek that says, hey, we're doing a Muletown in the Round down here at the restaurant. Will Jason play our first show back after COVID? Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most important things, Rory, that could have ever happened for us, and a blessing, because he was, I don't know what I'm going to sound like, mm-hmm. but here he was with his friend, Rory Feek, and those other guys. And I don't think he's ever sounded better.
Oh, yeah. He was amazing.
He was amazing. So and that
he needed
was
to know he was amazing.
Yeah, because you don't know what it's going to, how it's going to affect your professional life and career, right? Yeah. So mm-hmm. I want to thank you that you probably hadn't even thought about that day since that happened.
That, yeah.
But that was, again, one of those other points mm-hmm. where you
that was
always show
for
up.
Us too.
Yeah,
well, thank
it
you.
Really was.
Yeah, tell him thank you again. Still,
well, listen, he loves you. And
years ago, tell him this. This is funny. I remember sitting with him. You know, you write with a lot of people, and you write some good songs with a lot of people. Jason and I probably wrote some good songs together.
A couple
I don't
times,
remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
but I do remember sitting with Jason and him talking, and he's so smart.
Oh my gosh,
so smart. And one of the things that I loved. This helped me. It really did help me. He looked around at all the music industry going on. And he said, you know, Rory, he said, there's a reason all these pop artists, all these people from all these other genres, they don't care about, I could name check a bunch of
yeah.
popular country singers now. They don't care about any of these people. They care about Merle Haggard, Loretta Lynn, George Jones, Johnny Cash. And his point was, it's really about being authentic.
Exactly.
Being a one of a kind, your own true self, not about being successful or
right.
anything else. And he was able to see through it all. And I remember him speaking that into me at the time. And I just thought, wow, I couldn't see that from where I was. But it helped me. It helped
me
just to realize what's something worth striving for musically.
Well, you and Joey were authentic. And authentically, you know. And I think people are... I think they're craving authenticity, whether it's in politicians, mm-hmm. in music, in anything right now, because everything's become so plastic and so there's a song of Jason's called The Real Deal with they've polished off all the heart, you know,
mm-hmm.
That we don't get authentic people much anymore.
Right.
And people are craving just honesty. And what's so cool is you see Instagram and things of just authentic people doing their deal. And people are responding like crazy. It's a very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think about you and Joey a lot. And after she passed, I just know how hard it was. But I do know that you have a new love in your life. I think people want to know
mm-hmm.
about that. Her name's Rebecca, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
She teaches at the school.
She does. She teaches at Indy School, and she's been there for 5 or 6 years. It's just been, this is all fairly new for her and I. And so, yeah, that's been a journey for me just to be willing and open to the idea of experiencing love again. Yeah, I like that you use the word beloved and come back around to talk about why I like it. Is I'm 58 years old. I don't have a girlfriend. I can't date somebody like
right.
that's. I'm not a child.
Right.
I told Rebecca. I said, "You're my beloved."
Isn't that awesome?
Well, let's be grown-ups here.
That's
it's
right.
Like we, you know, this. I like the idea. First off, that. After all this time, hopefully we've learned some things as we've gotten older. And one of the things for me is just the time that I've spent with Rebecca. I'm too old just to play around and have it not mean anything. And so it's been really fun to see what can come out of it. And I think she's excited about it. I'm excited about it. Indiana
yeah.
is really excited.
I love that.
You should see in the last couple of, I won't go into details, but she's ready. She's ready to see where this goes,
yeah.
And that's fun for me to see our little girl be open to it and actually putting it together, because she hadn't until right here recently, and that's been a real lesson for me, another step out in faith, climb up on a limb. That's a very scary limb for me to go out on. It's, I've been very afraid or maybe misunderstanding that somehow in loving or being open to loving somebody else, I would be disrespecting or dishonoring the love that we've had before. And I think God's just made it clearer to me that You can love someone else and still love the person you loved before.
That's right.
You can honor someone else and still honor that person.
That's right.
Things can begin without, everything doesn't have to end for it to begin sometimes. So it's been a wonderful experience so far.
I love that. And we love that that's in your life. We want you healthy and happy
and happy.
So, so let's talk about Homestead Hall. If you all in Maury County have not visited the Performance Hall out there on 431, mm-hmm. to me, it rivals the Ryman, mm-hmm. and it's how great it is. Again, out of this gentleman sitting in front of a computer that has created this beautiful performance hall. But you're having these Homestead concerts mm-hmm. the third Thursday of every month, correct?
So we do lots of things there. So a Mule Town in the Round is basically, it's the Bluebird
right.
Here in Maury County. That's the third Thursday of every month at Homestead Hall. And we do a number of other events and concerts. I actually just, I've started a series. It was going to be one show in Memorial Day weekend is 25 years that I've been here. And so just this morning, I shared a little thing, a blog post that said, hey, I want to do a free, I've never done a free concert in the hall before. I want to do a free concert just to celebrate faith and family and this last 25 years. Come and join us. And I put it, and before I was done with coffee, like in an hour, it sold out. So we just announced a second free
concert.
Now,
what date is that?
It's the 25th, but now it's also the 24th, because right before I got here,
Of May.
Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. Now, don't be taking all of those people from our May 16th show.
No. I'm sure it's all totally fine. It's just fun for me also to do some new thing. Again, stepping out on limb. It's like where I've been called here lately is I've just got this really strong feeling God's put in my heart, which is he's given me a gift, given a lot of us gifts, and he's reminding me it's a gift.
It is a gift.
And it's meant to be given away.
Right.
And so that doesn't mean we can't make money from it or anything
right.
else, but that's very counterintuitive to the whole way that the industry works and everything else. So I'm just now learning to give that gift back to him.
I love that. Well, you've always given to me and always given to Jason, and we're thankful for you. Give me the website for the Homestead Hall so
Homestead
people can
go. You can go to, you can go to Hardison Mill, and you can get all the concert dates at Homestead Hall. You can learn about the experiences and classes at the schoolhouse. You can learn about the Homestead Festival June 7th and 8th. Anything we're doing, you can learn at hardisonmill.com, or you can go to my website, roryfeek.com.
And they can get your books there. They can get your books.
Our CDs, anything they want.
Oh, that's awesome. So go buy, go support, go visit, go enjoy a live performance of music, which everybody needs to get back into just sitting and being with people and concentrating on the music for a little while and the storytelling, which is all great. So, Rory, it's so good to see you. I don't see you enough except walking through a restaurant. Yeah. So
good
I love
to see you.
And
I love you too.
I love you.
Good luck with everything. Thank you for having me on.
You're
your
my
very
number
first
one
show.
Guest, and all I'm right. so proud of you. Thank you for all you've done and for stepping out in faith
and
being
too.
The one. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much, Rory. Have a good day.